If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Welcome, gather round the fireside and listen to a tale of Fionn Mac Cool, Cool Cullen, Deirdre, all the sorrows, Gronn, your wail. From giants right down to fairies, of both the drooping and solitary, and close to are sometimes scary. Anything goes by the fireside. Yeah. Fireside, the Pooka fireside, the Merrow fireside. Kings and queens fighting heroes, don't you run from the fun, there's no need to hide. Sit by the fireside. Fireside. Fox and Bully. On a bursting battlefield of confusion, we compulsively sat in between. I sought congealed sugar blood before allies caught my lesser scent and turned. We occupied the same wood, but he was rounder, weaker, so he had to die. Equally applicable barbs sank in on the plane of kicks and calls. Raising destruction brought strange relief. These were days of the bad trade, chipped clash and the swirling, splashing dirt. The depths were drawn in the rising profane, resulting in a stroll down Taxidermy Row. But amid that destructive hypocrisy, he appeared, one who may escape the light detection, whose call was once unknown, beautiful if contact was avoided, earliest beginning. Every time I regain perspective, I remember the fox and seek his den once more. Hello and welcome to Fireside, the Irish storytelling podcast. Each episode of Fireside, we take a story from folklore or mythology, we retell it, have a chat about the tale itself and about the craft, culture and history of storytelling. My name is Kevin C. Olahan. I am your host and your Fireside Bard. Welcome to episode 151 of Fireside. Today on the Irish Storytelling Podcast, we begin our celebration of my upcoming book of poetry, Gardensea, with the folklore and stories of the fox and the wolf, and a reading of my own poem, which you just heard there, Fox and Bully. If you have not done so already, please do follow me over on Instagram at FiresideBard, email me at thefiresidebard@gmail.com, and if you really want to support, you can do so over at headstuffpodcast.com, where you can join Headstuff Plus, where for as little as €5 a month, although you can pay more if you want, you can gain access to not just bonus material for this podcast, but for all of the podcasts on the Headstuff Podcast Network. And Kindle pre-orders are now available for my book, Gardensea, now. These pre-orders are a very important time, the most important time for any new book, especially for a brand new author. The link for the description is in all of those below. Pre-orders for the physical copy of the book will be available from Headstuff's website very soon. You can email me at thefiresidebard@gmail.com if you want to get an order in before the pre-orders go live. And if you are around Dublin on December 9th, come along to Fireside Live to celebrate the return of live storytelling and also the third anniversary of Fireside. It's going to be a night of folklore, mythology and music, poetry and prose, song and story, and just a bit of drink and devilment, because it is also BYOB. So bring your own hooch and come along to the podcast studios on December 9th at 7 p.m. Tickets are €12. They're available from Eventbrite at the link in the description below. There's going to be a lot of links down there. And that's all there for you. There's very, very limited tickets left for this show, folks. So if you are around and you want to come along, please do book as soon as you can. And with that, let's just talk a little bit about why I've written a book of poetry and why I'm talking to you about it on Fireside today. I wanted to write a book of poetry for a number of reasons. First of all, I wanted to become a better writer and storyteller, and the greatest adaptations of mythology throughout history, from Homer to Yeats, have always been from poets. So I wanted to develop my own poetic voice. Also, the old Irish bards, they were amongst the only poets and storytellers in the world who were encouraged to put their own spin or their own slant on the old lore, and I wanted to lean more into this. Also, having worked in adaptation for 3 years now with this podcast, I wanted to create a book of work that was entirely my own. And finally, in tandem with this, so much of Irish mythology and folklore exists around or outside of my own homeland of Wicklow, and I wanted to create a piece that was a piece of new folklore or a neo-myth of my own home. Now, I went about this by taking the mad notion of taking a year-long intensive course at the Oxford School of Poetry with an incredible teacher named Kirsten Norrie, who performs under her Highland name of McGillivray. I highly recommend you check out her work either online or in her books. And every week, Kirsten and I would submit assignments and work, and Kirsten would critique them, and then while we explored a vast gamut of subgenres, from Anglo-Saxon verse to surrealism to looking at angels, ballads, songs of the sea, Kirsten always shaped the course around the work that I submitted to her, and we were geared by what next would be best for me and for my own development as a writer. And this kind of personal touch made it, this course, possibly the greatest thing I've ever done creatively and artistically, and I'll always be incredibly grateful to Kirsten for that. So Garden Sea is the fruit of that labour, and after working on it for nearly a year and a half, the book is finally ready, and I really hope all of you enjoy it who are interested in it and who want to buy it. The decision to, in the lead up to the book's release on December 10th, and the live show on December 9th, I wanted to share some of the poems here and tell stories of the folklore surrounding them, because there is no doubt that without Fireside, there would be no Garden Sea. And that is why I fully agree that any of you who enjoy Fireside will be welcome in Garden Sea. And the first poem I wanted to share, also, we've been exploring Irish or Welsh mythology so much over the past few months, with no dip back into Irish folklore, and I wanted to ease back into that with an exploration of a lot of Irish folklore again that I've been wanting to do, specifically a lot of animal lore and bird lore and tree lore, which I haven't been able to do as much because they kind of exist as little tiny bits of stories or just little facts rather than enough meat on them to justify their own episode. So in a similar way that I did with maybe my Christmas special last year, where I talked about the robin and the wren, I wanted to try this out for the next couple of weeks, where if I just take an animal or two and explore the different folklore and history and of them and their experiences in Ireland and the little tiny bits of stories surrounding them and maybe stories that they have in common with each other, to see how you all like that and to see how that starts to work, because that could open it up a huge amount to what we can explore in terms of Fireside. And I especially wanted to lean very heavily back into folklore for a little while we figure out our balance back between the mythology and the folklore that has always been the way on Fireside thus far. So the first poem I wanted to share was one of the very first pieces that I wrote that I felt was written by myself and not an imitation of someone else. It's called Fox and Bully. It's the piece I opened with because I would like to read it cold first, you know, open with it cold. Basically the background of it was when I was younger, I was quite badly bullied in school. But as it's well known, many bullies are just one word away from being victims of bullies themselves. And so the idea of this kill or be killed reminded me an awful lot about the life of the fox, who has since become one of my attendant animals. So before I read Fox and Bully again, I would like to explore some of the folklore and stories of the fox, and indeed of his uneasy ally, the wolf. This is The Fox and the Wolf on Fireside. The Fox and the Wolf. There are two wild dogs that once roamed the deep forests of Ireland. Natural enemies and uneasy allies. The first was the Irish wolf. Native to this land and known in Irish as Mach Tíre, the son of the land. The wolf has always been feared and hated by farmers for their threat to the livestock. But this mysterious and proud creature has always been respected by kings, goddesses, and heroes. The great Cormac MacArt was said to have been suckled by a she-wolf until he was found by his birth mother, after which the entire wolf pack guided mother and child back to their own home. Queen Maeve of Connacht was known as the fair-haired wolf queen, and the goddess of war, battle and death, the Morrigan, took the form of a wolf in one of her brawls with the Hound of Ulster, Cú Chulainn. As much as the wolf features in stories of Irish mythology, there are relatively few stories in Irish folklore. This is in no small part to the Cromwellian plantations of the mid-17th century, when land was taken off Catholic Irish and given to Protestant English. The English planters were horrified to discover that the wolf was still commonplace in Ireland. And as they eviscerated the Irish forests to expand their own lands, a bounty was put out of £6 for a she-wolf and £5 for a male. By the end of the 18th century, the Irish wolf was extinct. There is frequent talk of reintroducing them, but without the sufficient forestry and the natural threat to livestock, the Irish wolf may remain the sole part of history and mythology. But in the 9th century, when the Vikings came to this island, bringing their own gods and customs, they were to bring another kind of wild dog to Ireland. A wild dog that would outlive even the great Irish wolf and still roams our countrysides and cities. I'm speaking, of course, about the fox. Slight, svelte, and wild, the fox, like the wolf, has always been reviled and respected in equal measure. They are hunters, scavengers, but they are cunning and clever. Their very name is a synonym for sly. But if they were indeed introduced by the Vikings, they have certainly been embraced as a native beast of Ireland. As their name in Irish, Shinnach, comes from the ancient Irish for old one. The fox is said to be able to see the future, the yelping bark a call to when it is going to rain. The fox was even said to act as a banshee for certain Irish families, gathering in troops with their shrill cry predicting an impending death. The fox and the wolf are natural enemies and uneasy allies. The wolf is strong and savage, the fox slight and subtle. The wolf is exclusively wild, the predator of forests and wilderness. The fox, however, can survive in the country or in the city. He is almost as much cat as he is dog. One story tells of a fox and a wolf who formed an uneasy alliance. They were both hungry and hadn't eaten in days. The fox knew of an unguarded cellar full of meat and fruit and grain. The fox needed the wolf's strength to get into the cellar and her threatening frame for protection. The wolf, for her part, was uneasy about the arrangement. She was a proud beast. she hunted for her food. Usually, she hunted alone. Or if she hunted with others, the others were other wolves. But these days there seemed to be more and more humans, and fewer wolves. So the wolf had to think of other forms of hunting. But the wolf also didn't trust the fox. How could you trust a fox? With a wolf you knew where you stood. You were either a threat, an ally, or dead. But with a fox, every time you looked, they'd be in a different place and on a different side. But the wolf had to put her pride and prejudice aside and team up with the fox, for this one day at least. The cellar door, a phrase which J.R.R. Tolkien believed to be the most wonderful phrase in the English language. The cellar door was fastened shut by a large lock hanging from a chain. The broad and lumbering shove of the wolf allowed the pair to break open the door enough for both of them to squeeze through. But the lock and chain remained. Once inside, the fox and the wolf were overwhelmed by the amount of food stocked inside the cellar. How could the humans consume this much? They could not possibly eat all of this. It was just greed. So the fox and the wolf thought it was only right for them to eat their fill. Even if the two of them ate enough to burst, there would still be more food and drink than the humans knew what to do with. So the pair began to gorge. They began with the meat, the wolf tearing great chunks of flesh in her long, sharp jaws. The fox took smaller, but no less devouring bites. But the fox is not strictly carnivorous, and then moved on to fruit and grains. But the wolf had significantly less interest in those. Only meat can fill the stomach of a wolf. That you even eat fruits and berries is why you are so small, and I am so large. A large size is not always an advantage, said the fox. Soon the two cracked a cask of wine and began to lap it up. Every so often the fox would take a break and return to the entrance of the cellar door. The fox would leave and come back, as if she was alleviating some kind of curse. The wolf said, "You are wasting valuable time with your paranoia. If the humans come, we run. If they corner us, we attack. At least I can run and attack. But then again, I am much bigger and stronger than you are." The fox nodded and continued to take her smaller bites and keep her lookout. Soon the wolf and the fox heard the distinct sound of human footsteps. They had been found out. The time came for them to leave. The fox nimbly slipped through the crack in the cellar door. The wolf followed, but she became stuck. She couldn't fit through. Every time the fox had eaten, she had made sure that she could still fit out of the cellar door, but the greedy wolf had continued to gorge, and now she was too bloated to escape. "Help me," cried the wolf. "Would that I could," said the fox. "But unfortunately, you were right. I'm not as big and strong as you are. I could never have broken into the cellar without you. But I was also right. A large size isn't always an advantage. And now I am free, and you are caught." As the wolf howled, the fox slipped back into the night. The wolf was caught. The proud beast had been duped by the clever fox and undone by her own hubris. The end.
F-
Folks, as you all know, Fireside is a proud son of the Headstuff Podcast Network, which is Ireland's largest network of independent podcasts and a loving home for the creative and indeed the curious. There are so many other podcasts I could recommend to you on the network, some of which inspired me to approach Headstuff myself. Here's a taste of one you might enjoy.
I'm Trevor.
I'm Ed.
And I'm Andrea.
And we are
The Cinestream Club,
where we take a movie
that society deems a classic
and put it to the Cinestream test,
where we ask all the tough questions like,
does this movie make any sense?
Why isn't Tom Hanks in this movie?
How many sandwiches are in this film?
What kind of watches are people wearing?
Was that sex scene really necessary, says my mother?
What trivia does Trev know in Trev's Trivia?
What trivia do I know in Trev's Trivia?
That's what I said.
Okay.
Yeah. All these questions and more will be answered every fortnight in the Cinestream Club.
Available from wherever you get your podcasts.
And the Headstuff Podcast Network.
And that is some of the folklore and stories concerning the wolf and the fox. Because those who have been listening to this podcast for long enough may remember that in the early days, in the first year, we did these four folk tales featuring a fox, which came from Sean O'Sullivan's book from the Folklore Commission of the Folk Tales of Ireland. But my big discovery in the last year or so, just over a year ago, have been this series of books by Niall McKittur. I need to find out how exactly that is pronounced. It's not a name I'd come across before. But he does this series of books on Ireland's trees, Ireland's animals, Ireland's birds, and Ireland's flowers and wild fauna. And I've bought and read each and every one of them, and they're absolutely incredible. And they go through each, say for example, in the Ireland's animal book, they take each animal and explore them from a point of view of folklore, of mythology, of their relationship with humans, of different medicinal beliefs associated, their relationship with nature, there's really, really wonderful stuff. And in the section about the fox, many of these stories that I had already come across in Sean O'Sullivan's book were there, but there were also some of these other ones, including the story about the fox and the wolf. And naturally, because it's a collection of various different animals, there's only so much time that can be devoted to each. So sometimes a story is only told in a couple of lines. So naturally, you would think it wouldn't be suitable for Fireside. But through something like this, because animals are particularly a huge part of a lot of the folklore poetry in Gardensea, and I was certainly able to identify a couple of attendant animals for select poems. And I wanted to begin with Fox and Bully because it was, like I said, one of the first poems that I was happy with and where it felt like it was me writing. And this fox character kind of kept coming up, and the fox had been with me probably since those stories we did in Fireside back in the early days. So I wanted to explore more of that lore, especially once I discovered this idea that that it was the Vikings who had brought the fox over. This is not true. This is what's very nicely called folk zoology, you know, with this idea that just because they were red and they bore a similarity visually of the Vikings, that they must be a Viking animal. But I love that as well, as coming from a coastal former Viking settlement, that my attendant animal in this book about Wicklow would be this animal associated with the Vikings. And so because of this exploration of the fox, then I wanted to explore our native son as well, which is the wolf, the Irish wolf. And I just loved this parable-esque folktale of the fox and the wolf, and they seemed such natural animals to compare to one another. My favorite thing about the fox is that they, now I would consider them as much a part of the city as the country. And I think that's one of the things I associate with them most of all, is that I am someone from the countryside, but who has lived and loved living in cities for so much of the last 10 years. And since spending a lot more time at homes in the last couple of years, I now have this sense of duality in me that I didn't think existed before, that I feel is shared with this idea of the fox. So I hope this, let me know what you think about this kind of way of exploring animals, because while there may not be single stories that could make up an entire episode, what I can do is explore some of these folk beliefs and these histories of, for example, I didn't know that before about the wolf, that that they had been almost personally executed by Oliver Cromwell during his plantations of Ireland in the 17th century, that the wolf was rampant in Ireland and held a very uneasy but respected place in Irish society, because there is very little history of Irish wolf attacks. And when we look at the Brehon Laws, the wolf isn't considered as much of an enemy in society as it would necessarily be to the likes of farmers with their livestock. But in general, it wasn't considered that the wolf was an enemy of people, that they were a thing to be feared. But when Cromwell came over and started to wipe out all of the forests to make more room for the plantations, for these lands, for people, specifically for Protestant Englishmen, that the wolf was one of the first things to go to that, and they've been extinct for a long time because of that. As long as I've been alive, there's always been this story about bringing back the wolf and reintroducing the wolf. But this point that Niall McQuitter makes, that the resistance you would get from both farmers and also the lack of forestry in Ireland now, that there isn't enough forestry to sustain the actual habitat of wolves, which is very, very sad, but is a very good, a very valid point against their reintroduction, and how the Irish wolf, so much associated with so much of our folklore and our mythology, could belong to that period. But with all that said, just after swimming around in that, I would like to wrap things up by reading Fox and Bully one more time. Fox and Bully. On a bursting battlefield of confusion, we compulsively sat in between. I sought congealed sugar blood before allies caught my lesser scent and turned. We occupied the same wood, but he was rounder, weaker, so he had to die. Equally applicable barbs sank in on the plane of kicks and calls. Raising destruction brought strange relief. These were days of the bad trade, chipped clash and the swirling, splashing dirt. The depths were drawn in the rising profane, resulting in a stroll down Taxidermy Row. But amid that destructive hypocrisy he appeared. One who may escape the light detection, whose call was once unknown, beautiful if contact was avoided. Earliest beginning. Every time I regain perspective, I remember the fox and seek his den once more. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed this first of 3-4, depending on how we get on, of these Garden Sea specials exploring the folklore of some of the poems that have featured and inspired the work in Garden Sea. This is a very particularly vulnerable period of this podcast, naturally, for me. This is my very first book. It's my first publication, you know, and I'm very, very excited, very proud of the work I've done with it, and I naturally hope that as many of you who enjoy this podcast will enjoy that. So with that all in mind, please do, if you have not done so already, follow me over on Instagram, Fireside Bard. Email me at thefiresidebard@gmail.com. Support the podcast over at headstuffpodcast.com. You can pre-order Garden Sea on Amazon right now in the Kindle version. The physical copy will be available from Headstuff, hopefully by the next episode. and for pre-orders. It's going to be available everywhere from December 10th. So plenty of time before Christmas, hopefully. I should be able to post the physical copy anywhere in the UK and Ireland. I'll have to have another look at America. I know a lot of you are over there, but we can, if any of you are interested, we can have a look at that and sort that out if there's a desire for that there. And please do come along to the live show on, I should say as well, yeah, the reason pre-orders are so important for new work is because that is where they get their reviews and their customer reviews on Amazon, and they get some of their written reviews and naturally can climb up their own respective charts in their own little niche subgenre, such as poetry is. So it does make a huge difference for any of you who do want to pre-order the book on Kindle, if that is how you will be wanting to read it, or even if you want to get it on more. It will also be available on audiobook from Audible. I'm recording that in sessions this week, so that'll all be available very soon as well. And finally, yes, please do come along to the live show, Fireside Live, at the podcast studios on December 9th. At 7 p.m. It is BYOB. Tickets are €12. They're available from Eventbrite. The links for all of this will be very clearly laid out in the bio below. Next week, we're going to do one of my favorite pieces, which is St. Kevin and the Angels. We're going to be talking about one of my favorite characters from this podcast, which is my partial namesake and the patron saint of Gardensea himself, St. Kevin. We're also going to be exploring, that is a poem about my relationship between and my travels this year between Ireland and California, and so it's going to be about the bird associated so much with St. Kevin, which is the blackbird, and a bird associated so much with America, which is the eagle. So we're going to be exploring the folklore and stories of the blackbird and the eagle. That's all to come next week. Until then, I'll see you all, you'll hear me all, and remember, wherever you are and wherever you go, you can always join me by the fireside.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Head Stuff Plus.